Ben Jaworski, what's going on?
It's Monday, it's 5:30 p.m., and I'm already exhausted from the week.
This has
but
been
I'm happy to be here.
The Mondiest week ever.
Hey, this time next week will be a heck of a lot closer to going to the games.
I know. I'm excited about the CrossFit Games. 10 days. 10 whole days. It's good stuff.
I know. I mean, it's like it's a combination of excitement and also like nervousness. It's like we have all these logistics lined up. And as I don't even remember if I mentioned on the last podcast, I recently had my assistant left for a new job. So there's just a lot of stress in my world because I'm like, oh no, now a lot of planning and logistics falls on my shoulders and I'm not particularly good at that.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see, but I'm excited. We have a WOD prep party planned featuring Meme Lord. Make WODs Great Again is making a special appearance, whether he knows it or not.
I'll be there. You know what? You should have done that move they do in movies when people resign and just go, I don't accept your resignation. Or, then turn on some movie music, no. You know, be great. I don't accept it. I don't accept your resignation.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
I recently lost my administrative assistant too, and it is a bitch to have to start figuring out your own calendar. I've missed so many appointments in like the first week. I'm like, oh, this is so bad. So bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
There should be a rule when you have terrible ADHD. The government just pays for an assistant. You just get one, you know?
I feel like the assistant's job should be to hire a new assistant by the time they leave.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually not a bad idea.
It looks like we're successfully connected to Facebook Live on the WOD Prep page, though. So that's very exciting. I'm excited to say hi to all the WOD Prep family tuning in from all over the world. To see my uncle and I on a podcast.
this podcast has quickly become the WOD Prep fan page since it's connected to your page with far more followers than I have. So that works out.
Perfect. That's what we're going for.
That works out. I'm beat, dude. I've been working out too much, if there is such a thing.
There's definitely such a thing.
I did not take your advice this week. I'm getting neurotic leading into the CrossFit Games. And so I've not been scaling as much as I should. And I've definitely not been taking enough rest days because I'm going to have some baked in rest over my travels over the next couple of weeks. I got to travel tomorrow night, actually, and go to Detroit for a couple of days. And then back here for the weekend. I got some stuff going on over the weekend. So I know I'm not going to get in like kind of my normal stuff. And then we travel for the games, which we're going to work out in Madison for sure, but it's just not the same. So I'm cramming it all in is my point, and I'm a little exhausted.
That sounds exhausting just listening to it. I've still been on the run to the gym, workout, run home thing, and today was another challenging run home, but man, it's been good. It's been forging some running resilience, and I'm excited to work out the games. I should be halfway fit by the time it rolls around in 10 days.
You see any other benefits from that running?
I don't know if I can tell yet because it's only been a couple weeks. I mean, for me, it's been mentally, mentally challenging to just overcome it. And I think what's so interesting is like when it's very easy, like we all have something, you know, everyone in the comments, I know every single person has a thing that they're quote unquote bad at. And John, you have some things you're bad at, but if we do them more consistently, all of a sudden it takes that mindset and it flips us on its head. So, you know, I'm always thinking like, I'm bad at running. I hate running. Long distance running sucks. And granted, I know that 1 mile isn't really long distance, but it is for me, and doing it, you know, two times a day is tough. But I'm slowly starting to realize that I have more confidence when I run. So even a few of these runs that I'm doing, it's like, oh, I know that, like, you know, those little bouts of like pain and cramps and, you know, like really annoying things that creep up, I know that if I just keep running, eventually they're going to go away. My body kind of settles into it. So I feel like the main benefit for me so far has just been a little bit more increased confidence in running because I'm doing it on the front end and back end of the workout.
Do you ever use any of that extra you know, running, walking, whatever, to accommodate other things like anxiety, hunger cravings, alcohol cravings. Like, have you ever attempted that?
Where, like, if I had a craving, I would go for a walk or run.
Yeah, like I read this. I was reading over the weekend, which is very rare for me, and no colors, you know, no crayons involved. Like actually reading, and one thing it was mentioning that, you know, when you have, you know, let's say you have a craving for alcohol and you don't want to drink, or you know, you're trying to stick to a diet and you don't want to, you know, eat during a certain time period or whatever, go for a walk. Like if you, you know, if you've got anxiety, go for a walk. Like they just kind of kept repeating, you know, give this a try as a method to, you know, offset some of those things. And it, like, the light bulb kind of went off for me. I'm like, I don't take enough walks, you know? And I do find myself often, cause I live alone, other, you know, the cat and my kids, where, you know, I think to myself, well, am I hungry or am I just bored? You know, like I often think that way. Or, you know, do I have anxiety right now? Or am I just bored? Is my mind just racing because there's nothing else going on? And I'm just curious if you've ever done that or even, you know, heard of it.
I don't know if I've ever done, I guess there's been a few times, where I probably, you know, gone for a run or done something to try to get my mind off of, you know, anxiety or eating. You know, for me, the main thing would be like stress. Like when I get really stressed sometimes in life and get kind of anxious or really sad. And, you know, one of the best things that I can do, I mean, for me, actually, a lot of times I just take a nap. I know it's not quite as, it's not quite as productive maybe as like running or walking or, you know, going out in nature, but I've just realized that like a lot of my issues probably stem from, you know, not getting enough sleep. So I realized the value of sleep. And a lot of times I've been able to, like, you know, wake up from a 15 minute nap and feel a lot more refreshed and a lot more calm. So yeah, that's what I've done. But for me right now, this running thing that I'm doing before and after each workout, and for those who are just joining, basically what I'm doing is I run a mile to the gym, do my WOD at the local CrossFit gym, CrossFit Cuspis, because about a mile from my house, and then I run home, and the run home's uphill. And I'm doing it because it's kind of just, it's a mental challenge. Like every morning, I'm like, oh, I don't want to run to the gym. I'll just drive. And it's like, no, you'll run. And I run. And I kind of like, I overcome that bit of fear, that resistance. And then on the way home, even no matter how crushed I am by the workout, I force myself to say, I'm going to run and I'm not going to stop. And I'm going to run all the way home. And then when I get home, I'm going to do a cold shower. And it's actually been really good. It's just proving to my brain that I have the mental fortitude to push through, even when something deep down is telling me that I don't want to do it, that I can do it. So I'm kind of training my body to know who's boss. But I could definitely see it being useful for reducing anxiety or curbing cravings. I just haven't used it that way.
I've started doing naps. I mean, you mentioned that I started doing more naps even when I'm not super tired, and I'm finding that's helping. I also got a lot of messages this week, by the way. We talked last week about you taking your cold showers and for recovery. And I got a bunch of messages from people giving us cheaper solutions for ice baths as opposed to buying one of those ice barrels for $1,300. And somebody's like, just go to Home Depot, spend $300 on a Kenmore and just fill it full of water. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Like,
yeah,
should do that.
Wait, a Kenmore, like a fridge?
Just like a floor fridge, you know?
Yeah.
Mike, hey, why not? I would assume don't plug it in. That'd be a bad idea. But otherwise it
works. I know there's a lot of different options. I think the key is like, you know, is it insulated? Are you able to get full submersion under it? But I haven't messed around with it. I think I'm going to be moving relatively soon. So the last thing I need is another giant bulky item to move. Right. Yeah, it's definitely just cold exposure has been good. But honestly, the cold shower, I mean, granted, I know it's probably wasting a lot more water, or maybe it's not. I don't know how much water it takes to fill up those tubs. But I definitely feel very cold when I'm doing the cold showers. And the thing is, it just stays cold because every time you turn or like lift an arm to get some, you know, armpit coldness, you know, I'm always moving and it's just always very annoying and very cold. At least with an ice bath, sometimes you can settle in and it just kind of like you settle into it.
Armpit coldness. I was not expecting that. Let's answer some of these questions. You got a lot of questions coming in from your Facebook stream. You guys must be big on Facebook, bro.
Yeah. You know, we got, let's see, how many followers do I have on Facebook? 255,000 followers.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Get you flexing.
Still not as big as you on Instagram, but
it's still big. All right. Let's take, here. We'll throw some up on the screen for those watching. Is it Eliza? Is that how we're going to pronounce this?
Yeah. Eliza.
Eliza Cardi. Doing CrossFit for 3 months. I don't see I'm improving anything for me to push myself. Any advice? So not seeing improvement after 3 months. What do you think, Ben?
Well, first of all, I would ask, how are you measuring the improvement? Because assuming you didn't start from some other super athletic background, I would really doubt there's not some form of improvement. And I know it kind of goes on in the comment to say, like, I'm don't see an improvement for me to push myself. And so maybe you're talking about, like, you haven't seen any improvement in the ability to push yourself. And if in that case, that's kind of between the ears. That's a mental strength thing. So if you're not seeing improvement in the gym, I would say I would kind of doubt it, first of all, because unless you've worked out a lot, that consistency is going to make you improve. I'd also ask yourself, like, well, how are you measuring? How are you saying I'm not improving? Like, what sort of benchmarks are you measuring yourself against? Because what's so interesting is a lot of people don't think they're getting very stronger, or they don't think that they're losing any weight. And then they actually look at their metrics. They redo a workout, or they test a one rep max again. And they're like, holy crap, I'm way stronger. And they do some body fat measurements. And they're like, whoa, I'm way leaner. So I would maybe challenge the fact that you don't think you've seen progress in 3 months. And then if we really want to get, you know, practical about it, what does your sleep look like? What does your nutrition look like? What does your consistency look like? If you've been doing CrossFit for 3 months, how many times have you been in the gym? Has it been 4 days a week? Has it been 1 day a week? Has it been 1 day every other week? Because 1 day every 3 weeks for 3 months isn't that many classes. So I would just have to ask a few questions before we could get to the really, you know, the root of it. And then last thing is, if it is a mental thing, if you're saying, oh, I'm not improving in the ability to push myself, that's where, you know, that's why we created the course Strong Mind at WOD Prep. And, you know, we released it last week. If you emailed us, you could probably still find a way to get access to it, because I know a guy. But if you email Ben at WODprep.com, you can ask about it. But basically, it's a course where Don Fletcher and I help teach you from the ground up how to increase your mental performance and increase your mental strength and increase the ability to be able to push through those tough workouts. So hopefully that helps.
Is 3 months enough time to show significant progress? Do you think? What do you think?
Three months is a full cycle of fitness. So assuming consistency, assuming you're going to a gym that has, you know, a decent amount of intensity and decent programming, you should absolutely be able to see progress in 3 months, as long as you have some sort of retest.
Yeah, I guess the only feedback I would give someone saying, hey, I'm not showing progress in 90 days, is be really specific in what you're measuring. Like, you know, I think there's hundreds of programs that sell 90-day fitness, P90X being the granddaddy of them all, right? Mm-hmm. And the kind of the mantra of P90X is they were going to get you lean and thin and help you build muscle. And so they would have you measure everything and weigh yourself and take before photos. And then when you're done, you'd measure everything again and do after photos. And so you had a very specific progress, and you actually do that every 30 days. So you almost like a progress chart as you're working through it. I think where CrossFit is different is we're learning, I don't know how many movements we do. I mean, let's just call it 30, you know, easily, 30 or so movements, some of which are very, very complex that you've probably never done before. The workouts are constantly varied, so you're not repeating a lot of stuff in 90 days. So unless you set a very specific goal that you're going to measure from the beginning to the end, it often feels like you're not improving. Like I've been doing this a decade. I often feel like I'm not improving until I go back and test something. Like I tested something today and I was like, holy crap, I got better at that. Like, how'd that happen? Because I wasn't really training that one thing to get better, but I trained over enough time that I showed improvement, you know? And so I've said it before. I just think there's real power in data, like in whatever data you want to measure. So pick what you want to measure. If you have to go get a Whoop band or a Garmin or just a tape measure and a scale, and kind of figure out what you want to measure, or it might just be, I want to get better at double unders. Pick something and test it. And I think you'll come away feeling way, way better about it. At least I do. That's what helps me push through. All right, here we go. Squat question. I've been struggling. This is from Carmelita Cruz. Carmelita asks, I've been struggling with squats for a while now. How do I stop squatting so low? Oh, I hate you. I want to be able to squat at parallel or a little below. My butt won't stop at those points. I don't have this problem. I have old knee.
Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about here, Carmelita. And that's basically you're bottoming out every single squat. So you are, chances are when you have some load, when you have maybe even air squats, you just are the kind of person who's flexible enough, you just drop all the way down and bounce out of the bottom. And yes, we do want to control that. So here's what I would suggest, a couple different things. Number one is practicing squats with the tempo. So whether you're doing back squats, front squats, overhead squats, all the squats, force yourself to do a 3-second count on the way down and force yourself to keep the same speed on the way down. Because what I've seen some people is like they'll squat slow at the top and then when they start to get low, they just drop all the way to the bottom. So see if you can force yourself to keep the same pace slowly but surely, like start squatting down 1, 2, 3, 4 all the way at the bottom and then stand up. If you can control that descent, eventually you'll be able to control that depth. Squatting fully, you know, ass to grass isn't a bad thing, but it is not ideal if you can't control it. Another thing I would do is maybe practice squats where you're literally stopping right below parallel. Practice lifting really heavy and see if you can force yourself to actually stop before you get that bounce out of the bottom. I really, really like those. Another one that I practiced before in the past is like pause squats below bottom, meaning like you, let's say you're holding a front squat, you squat all the way down, but just before you reach the very, very bottom of the squat, you hold it and pause for 3 to 5 seconds and then stand up. So you're stopping with tension in the squat. I think those are great ways to develop strength and control so that you're not just bottoming out every single time.
You're smart, Ben. You should do this for a living, man. You ever do box squats?
No, I really don't. That could probably help, but the potential issue there is the box squat would like the person would kind of just bottom out on the box and they would relax everything on the box. But it could work because what that does is that forces you to develop like that getting out of the whole strength at the depth of that box. So that definitely could work.
Well, somebody put in the comments, they've used a wall ball before. Like, I'm not thinking about sitting on the box. I'm just thinking like tap the box. Like you got to feel something, you know, like I've done it with wall balls before. I mean, I never had a bottoming out problem, but I did have a problem with getting deep enough, and a wall ball is shallow enough for me that it forces you to go lower, you know?
Yeah. Any target. It could be a ball, could be a bench, could be, doesn't have to be a box. It could be literally any target. And yeah, you could do like that thing where you control yourself slowly down all the way to the bottom until you just barely tap that target with your booty and then stand up rather than, you know, collapsing on it. Maybe make the target really pokey and pointy so you can't collapse on it. You know? I'm coming up with good ideas here.
Yeah.
Spiky box.
Yeah, we're getting off this topic now because the meme lord in me is thinking bad things. All right. Here we go. What ratio? This is from Kate. Kate asks, what ratio would you suggest between actual workouts in comparison to skill development? And then she sucks up to you, Ben, and says your videos are fantastic as well as pretty funny. Thanks for the great vibe. Kate in Australia.
Thank you very much, Kate. Flattering.
You have to answer this in an Australian accent, by the way.
All right. Yeah. So I'd say in terms of a ratio between actual workouts and skill development, I would say probably what I like to do is take a little bit of both. All right. I won't be able to actually answer it, but that was pretty good
That was pretty good. That was actually pretty, I was pleasantly surprised. You're pretty authentic Australian because all of my accents just come out Jamaican. All of them. Doesn't matter what it is. Like British accents. Like, okay, man. You know, it's like, they're all Jamaican. All I can do. So
I was Steve Irwin for Halloween this year. So I had 3 days of practice where I tried to never come out of character at the Rogue Invitational each night. In terms of ratio between actual workouts and skill development, I like to take the blended approach, meaning like the reason WOD prep courses exist the way that they do, the reason we have like this whole library of training courses is because they're designed to be added to your normal workouts either before or after. And the skill sessions take anywhere between 15 minutes and 30 minutes. So you can kind of add them on as like a cherry on top. And then normally what I say for any given skill that you are trying to achieve, like let's say double unders, we normally recommend 2 to 3 sessions of 15 to 30 minutes of practice per week following some sort of structured program. That's the way my entire business is built, is off of those courses. So I'm pretty adamant about that. I don't like people avoiding, like it all depends on what your goal is and what your level of training is. But I generally don't suggest that most CrossFitters avoid doing CrossFit classes or doing actual CrossFit to just practice a skill unless you're really high level or unless you have like a very, very glaring weakness. Then it's like, yeah, you don't need another Metcon. You need to practice this weakness. But for the general CrossFitter that's just trying to go from scale to RX, I say, you know, have fun in class, do your Metcons, but then make sure that either, you know, 2 or 3 times, maybe even 4 times per week, before or after class, you sprinkle in that 15 to 30 minutes of accessory work around a very specific skill. I think a problem that a lot of people make is that they spread out their skill practice. They'll do like muscle ups on Monday and then toes to bar on Tuesday and then weird things on Wednesday. And, you know, like they just like do all the skills all stacked on top of each other. And I like to see focused effort in one direction. So pick 1 or 2 skills, focus on them heavily. And then kind of once you made a progress over an 8 to 12 week period, then you move on to a different one.
I love the idea of weird thing Wednesday.
I was going for alliteration. I couldn't come up with a W skill, I guess. Wall walk Wednesday. There you go.
There you go. It took you a minute, but you worked it out. That was good. I feel like I've always had pretty good coaches, or I've got really good coaches. Well, they're probably watching this like pretty good. Screw that guy. That program and skill work, but I did have moments where it just wasn't programmed in enough, like based on where I was at that moment in the skill, where I would do extra but I wouldn't do a lot. I'd do like double unders is a good example. As I was learning double unders, I would do 5 minutes a day for 90 days, you know, until I felt like I had built enough that then I could start working it into, the actual workouts, and felt like I was kind of keeping up with the class. So for me, it was always just finding a little extra time on my own, but not a lot of time, because I felt like if I spent too much time, I was really impacting what the coaches were trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Your way's better though, Ben. Weird stuff Wednesday. Hey, here's the reverse of the one question we got the other day, a few minutes ago, from Danny, is asking, I love the picture, by the way, Danny. It's very cool. I'm doing CrossFit for 4 years, saw huge improvement during the first years. Nowadays, not so much. How can I maintain motivation? Motivation is always a big question for people, I think.
Again, and Bean, I really like Bean's answer there. I could hear him.
Bean is in the chat, baby.
Popping off in the background. All right, the first thing is, and I think I mentioned this a little bit last week when we had kind of a similar question roll in, but you really need to connect with your why. In order to have a reason to do these hard things. And that, again, is something this is now the second time I'm pitching it, but we go over this like in huge detail inside of the Strong Mind course. So I know technically it's closed, but if you email ben@wadprep.com and ask about it, I'm sure we can find a way to get you in the inside. But that course and what Dawn has taught me through that is like, in order to get through these plateaus and set new goals and have new trajectories in where we're trying to go in training, you really have to understand why you're doing it. So Danny, I would ask you like, why are you training? Is it just to get better at CrossFit? If so, I don't think that's necessarily very compelling. So we might actually need to do work on coming up with a compelling reason to compete. It could be something like, you have a local competition, or you really want to train for the open, or you have a specific hobby that you know getting better at CrossFit will help you with. Or you can take the approach where you're like, hey, I don't care about my performance. I'm just here to stay fit. And there's plenty of people who do that. It's kind of what I do anymore. It's like, I'm competitive enough to just be motivated by all the people around me. I want to beat every single one of them. So that's competition enough for me. And then secondarily, like I'm motivated just to stay healthy so that I can have fun doing all the hobbies that I do. And like last Thursday, I had a mountain bike crash. And if I hadn't been doing CrossFit for the last couple of years, I guarantee I would have gotten way more banged up in that mountain bike crash than I did on Thursday. Just got a couple bruises, but someone with less muscle mass probably would have had a couple broken bones. So there's all these different whys that I've come up with. And now it's just more of like, it's no longer this CrossFit goal of trying to achieve greatness in CrossFit. Now I just realize that CrossFit showing up is just a check mark that's going to help me stay healthy and stay prepared for all these fun hobbies that I do.
Can we just take a minute and recognize your humble brag on your muscle mass? That was good. I like how you slid that in there.
Well, I'm just saying everyone who's a CrossFitter would have survived that wreck better than a traditional skinny biker person.
How'd you wreck your bike? What'd you do?
I did an unintentional front flip off of a rock cliff.
Oh, well, it's the worst that could happen.
Yeah. You know, hey, I survived. I got a couple really nice scratches and bruises on my back.
If anyone followed me on Instagram, though, right?
Seen that.
Say what? I'm going to be your mom here for a minute. You wear your helmet?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mess with helmets, man.
I don't need my little boy going out there without his helmet on. You make me nervous.
No, I wear my helmet. I bought after I saw my ex get a concussion snowboarding with a helmet, mind you. I was like, I will buy the most expensive helmet possible for every sport that I play. So I have like the most expensive Smith mountain biking helmet, the most expensive Smith snowboarding helmet. So yeah.
Dude, head injuries are nothing to joke about, to say the least. Yeah. I will say to Danny here, and you know, the question about, you know, getting better for 4 years and then not seeing improvement as much. Coach Glassman believed that you should be seeing progress in PRs for up to 10 years. And so I think that's something to think about. Like if you're, you know, motivation is one thing, and I'd love, Ben, what you're talking about mindset and how that's a big part of it. I also think part of it is just recognizing that you're not out of, you're probably, I should just put a probably on there, not out of the realm of where you should still be PRing. And I think that 10 years is actually growing now that we've learned more about CrossFit. Like I'm 11 years in, I set 2 PRs for myself in the last week, you know, and I think that should continue to happen to some degree. There's always going to be some drop off, but you know, I just think for me, setting goals is a great way to have motivation. And if you're not a goal-driven person, have fun. Those are the two things I always look to do. Like when I'm going in to, like today was a challenging workout, I was going in to challenge myself. So I wasn't going to have fun. I was going to hurt, you know, but it was a goal. And a couple of days ago I went in, I was just simply going in to have fun. I knew I was going to scale the workout, pull the weight back, just wanted to get some movement in, wanted to feel good, get it done, have a good time, joke around with people. Those are both motivating factors for me. So I think, you know, finding the things that motivate you is important. Mm-hmm. And can help.
But, yep. Yeah. And you could also focus on process goals rather than outcome goals. You know, if you're used to only setting goals that are like, I want to achieve X or I want to get blank PR, eventually those are going to come fewer and farther between as you get better. But if it's a process goal of like, my goal is just to get in 3 days a week, then it for XYZ reason, that's going to help remotivate or change the motivation behind the attendance and showing up.
Well, your goal mostly, isn't it just like you do CrossFit to go wreck your bike, you know, to go do your hobbies, like the things you love to do. And I think that's great. Like I'm actually kind of jealous of that because I don't have a lot of outdoor hobbies. And the fact that you're staying fit to be effective at those things, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yep. Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's a good one. I haven't seen this before from Paul. Do you watch volumes of specific movements per week, per month? Example, 100 chin-ups per week or 100 handstand push-ups, or do you just go on feel? It's an interesting question.
That's a great question. For me, I don't and never have. And I do go on feel. Like there's been times where I program for myself or I've been following a program and, you know, my biceps and, you know, elbows feel super banged up from really high volume pull-ups. I take a few days off pull-ups, but I don't specifically track them. I think from a programming perspective, like a great coach or a great gym owner that's writing programming will maybe take some of that volume into account, but it is very much person-based. Like me doing 100 pull-ups tomorrow, I'm going to feel it a lot differently than, you know, my dad doing 100 pull-ups tomorrow. So, as the programmer for a gym, you can't necessarily plan for everyone, right? A lot of people, like we talked about a few episodes ago, program for the best, scale for the rest. So I think, Paul, for you, it comes really down to feel. And then also taking note of trends. Like if you know that doing more than 25 handstand pushups in a workout is going to make your neck and shoulders hurt, and that just seems to keep popping up, then just know that it might be worth toning down some of those handstand pushup workouts. But I don't think there's any magical numbers, because so much of your recovery is based on so many other factors. So if your sleep quality is good one week and then really shitty the next, then who knows, you know, how many pull-ups you should have done. So that's what I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I would, I always leave this to the programmers, to my coach. Like these days, I don't think a lot about the volume. I'm just like, all right, coach programmed it, I'm going to do it. I would say, I love your comment about feel, because I hate to see anybody go in and hurt themselves. Like if your shoulder hurts and you don't feel like you should be doing it, listen to your body. Like that's an important thing. But I'm gonna put a big butt on this. Sometimes you have to challenge yourself to do what's programmed, and your coach may know better than you. I'll give you an example. We've been doing a lot of toes to bar lately. Like so many toes to bar. And I mean like high volume, like one workout, 12 minute AMRAP, it'll have 72 toes to bar in it. You know, like a kind of ridiculously high numbers. And then 3 days later, you're doing another 40 or 50 in the workout. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to come in on that second workout and go, man, my hands hurt. It hurts to grip the bar. I just did 70 2 days ago. I'm going to scale this or not do them. Sometimes you need to test that and see what you're really capable of. Because I have started to find that when I do that, the movement actually makes me feel better, not worse. So it isn't the volume that's the problem. I need to be moving. Like I need this, whatever is sore and beat up needs to stretch and move. So there's some balance there between listening to your body and listening to your coach. Always err on the side of not getting injured. That's my philosophy, but sure. Sometimes you got to test it.
Yep. Well, I have a question, John, because one of my good buddies has made a comment trying to troll me, but now it's going to turn into good questioning. John, have you ever walked into the gym and not warmed up and then regretted it?
Oh, is this Ty's question? Have you ever seen someone work out as good as me? It was zero warm up?
Yeah. So Ty's question, everyone, is Ben, have you ever seen someone work out as good as me with zero warm up? So I know Ty from Florida. We used to compete together. We used to train a lot together at CrossFit Mako in Pensacola, Florida, when I lived there. And Ty was famous for being the oldest person in the gym. And he would just walk in, like me and all the other 20-somethings would be warming up, get ready to train. And he would just walk in and then like load up the bar and be like, let's go. Yep, so like we'd be in the middle of a clean workout, 250 pounds in the bar. Ty would just walk in, load up 225, do one rep and be like, I'm ready, you know, except the story here is Ty. I remember one of the most memorable workouts with you was we had this epic day planned and we had this smash throwdown plan. All the guys and girls on the competition team were there. I think we were kind of gearing up for the open. Like there was a lot of energy there. And we're loading up this amazing clean workout. We're going to do like a clean ladder. And of course, Ty's late because Ty's always late to things. So Ty shows up late or fashionably late maybe. And he shows up and he's, you know, he does one of these. He kind of twists his back, you know, an arm rotation on the right arm rotation on the left. And he's like, I'm good. I'm ready. And I still remember he picks up the first bar, does a clean, stands it up, and then just turns and says, I'm going home. And just goes home because he totally like, I actually remember hearing the crunch like in his lower back or whatever it was. And it was just like, and he's just like, all right, I'm leaving. And he just left. And he was there. So he did one rep and left. Still remember that to this day. John, you have any stories like that?
Oh, I have so many stories like that. I do have a couple of opinions on this, though, because I'm notorious because I train at home some and did for the last year. And so I have became notorious for the first round of the workout becoming my warm up.
Ah, yeah.
You know, and that's okay, actually. I'm gonna preface this with a butt because there's a second half to this story. I think it's okay if the workout's long enough. You know, I'm not talking about 12 minute AMRAPs. Like the first round for me of a 40 minute workout would be kind of leisurely work your way into it. And by the time I'm 10 minutes in, I'm working pretty hard. So I, in essence, was warming up, just doing the same movements I'd be doing for the rest of the time. And I think that's okay if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. I joined an affiliate because I needed a structured warm-up. And I can tell you with great experience, I am far more effective with an actual structured warm-up that's tailored to whatever I'm going to be doing. You know, it's not the same warm-up each time. Like the warm-ups have to have, like today, for instance, we did Nancy. So it was running and snatches and we were doing snatch balance. So the warm-up had a lot of PVC pipe, you know, overhead squats and pass-throughs. And we're using, you know, barbell movements and doing a lot of the same stuff we're going to do in the workout to get you properly warmed up and ready to go, you know. And I think that's really critically important for two reasons. Obviously it reduces the opportunity for injury, but I think it just promotes good movement. And particularly for a master's athlete like myself, like, you know, I know you're just a baby, Ben, but it takes me a long time to get my wrists broken in and my ankles to feel good and my knees not to be creaking. And like today, my right shoulder was hurting walking in the door. And by the time I was warmed up, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, it was just an age thing. It wasn't hurt. It just was creaky, you know, and I needed to get that creak out and I got it out and I performed fine, but I wouldn't have without a warm up.
Yeah. Last week, I think I actually mentioned on the podcast last week, I had like this weird mid back tweak thing. And normally that would kind of like put me out a couple of days. I'd be trying to like, you know, smash him with the cross balls back in the day. And I'd be trying to mobilize my way out of it. But I was just like, you know what? This is just a little tweak. If I go in and I move and I lift some weights, it's going to go away. And sure enough, a couple workouts later, it's totally fine. I'm very confident it's healed itself much quicker because I just like let it happen naturally. And I just did movement. I did functional movement at high intensity that didn't cause it pain, just maybe a little bit of uncomfortable. And then it went away. The body's really good at healing itself and working out those things.
Hey, while we have a minute, are you still doing Thirdsy? They're on the screen, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been doing it a couple of weeks now. Is it kicking in for you now?
Yeah. I mean, actually last night, which is crazy because it was after a long weekend of debauchery. I mean, just very debauchery. It was because it was a wedding weekend. I was a groomsman in my buddy's wedding and it was gnarly. Like Thursday night, I went to bed at 5 a.m. or something like that. So Friday morning, I went to bed at 5 a.m. You know, it was crazy. Anyway, Thursday, coming back home and actually taking that first glass of Thursday. This morning I woke up like my resting heart rate, I think got down to like 47 and my HRV was like up in the 90s, which is really good for me both directions. I don't know if it was a complete week of debauchery that just made me want to crash, but the fact that my recovery signals were so high, I was really surprised. I was at like 9 PM last night, stirred my little jar of Thursday, took a drink. And by 9:30 I was snoring.
Dude, I'm starting to find now that I've been on it for a couple of months, I'm starting to find my quality sleep's better. I'm sleeping far later and getting to bed far earlier. Like I went to bed the other night. I couldn't believe it. My daughters couldn't believe it because I notoriously am an early riser and late to bed. I was in bed at like 9 o'clock and I slept till like 8:30 the next morning. My youngest daughter's like, "What is wrong with you? Are you sick?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good. Just getting better sleep these days." And it makes a monster difference in how my workouts have been going.
Yeah.
It really does. So, and I think it's helping me take better naps. I need to ask Justine about that because I've never been able to nap, but lately I've been napping a lot. So I don't know if I'm just turning into my mom and dad or if that's part of it, but I do feel like I'm napping better.
For me, the nap thing, the reason I've been able to actually take some short naps is because I haven't been loading up my body with caffeine in the morning. So like the mid-afternoon nap would normally just be like, all right, another cup of cold brew, 300 milligrams of caffeine down the hatch. Now I'm actually kind of listening to my body and taking that nap. So I think that's why I've been able to actually get some naps. And but one thing that I like about Thursday is I feel like it gives me much more awareness of my sleep routines. So every night I just like have the same routine that I start to do. And it forces me to be like, all right, when I'm stirring that Thursday, that means no more electronics the rest of the night. Like I'm done. And it's helped me just come up with a nice little evening sleep routine, which I really like.
Well, everybody go buy some Thursday. It's amazing. Collagen protein. Use our code scales, SCALEZZZ at Thirdzy.com, THIRDZY.com. And you'll love it and tastes good. So yeah, that's a plus.
And we were recommending this far before they actually set up to sponsor the show. So Justine is a friend of the show.
Yep. It's good stuff. Hey, you sent me a topic via text and I wanted to talk about it. Should you strategize non-competition workouts or just wing it? That's a really interesting question. Do you strategize your non-competition workout? Like, I know you don't compete anymore, but like your everyday workouts, when you go in, do you strategize them or you just go for it?
Yeah. So a bit of context on this question. I was actually asked by someone at the gym. She just was kind of like, oh yeah, I never strategize my workouts. The only time I strategize is in the open. Like, do you actually strategize your workouts? And I thought about it and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Every single workout that I see, I naturally just think of, when I say strategy, I think of like, ooh, what's my rep scheme going to be? Am I going to attack this unbroken? For instance, like today, my workout was 4 rounds for time of 15 deadlifts at 115 pounds, 15 push jerks or push press shoulder to overhead at 115 pounds, and then a 250 meter row. So immediately I was like, all right, I'm going unbroken at 115 pounds, no problem. But if I ever get tired because of how fast I'm sprinting, I'm going to do 14 deadlifts, take a couple breaths, pick up the bar for the 15th deadlift, and then do a quick hang power clean for, you know, into my push jerks. And like that little stuff immediately comes to my mind whenever I see a workout. And I think it's because it's kind of what I do as a profession. But also I made the argument back to this person. I was like, I feel like you should strategize your workouts because the whole premise of CrossFit is how can we do more work in a shorter period of time to have higher power output, right? So if I strategize so that I can get a better quote unquote score in the workout, yeah, it helps me on the leaderboard, but also it helps me get maybe a better stimulus from the workout. If I didn't plan properly and I was messing up the reps and blew up completely, I might've actually gotten less intensity out of the workout today compared to me perfectly timing that small break in the middle of my round. It had me moving the whole time. And, you know, as of, you know, earlier today, I had one of the better scores and I felt really good about it. I felt really fast. So I would say you don't have to. I certainly do, but you might actually benefit if you actually take some time to strategize and plan out your rep schemes, plan out transitions, like try to optimize your just normal workouts, not just competition. You're actually going to find that you might actually get better results from those normal workouts. It's kind of my thought.
Yeah, I think you should strategize everything. We did Nancy today, which is 5 rounds for time, 400 meter run, 15 overhead squats, 95 pounds RX for the men, 65 for the women. And my coach goes, what's your plan for this workout? And I'm like, dude, I have done this workout so many times. I've made every possible mistake you can make. I know exactly what my strategy is walking in the door. And I think that's the power of, you know, I keep saying, you know, you need the data, like the power of tracking what you do and taking notes and writing it down or storing it somewhere so you can look back and see, did that strategy work or not? And testing it a different way or testing it the same way again to see if you actually got better. There's so much power in that. So much. And
like, how did your Diane test go the other day? Or not Diane, wasn't it? It was Grace, right? Grace. You did Grace?
Yeah. Well, and that was, you helped me with the strategy. So I messaged you and said, hey, I'm doing Grace. should I try to do some touch and go sets or do all singles? And you're like, nope, do all singles. And I PR'd it by like 27 seconds, you know? Yep.
So you technically, in terms of like the theory of CrossFit here is like, you got a better workout because you were able to squeeze the same amount of work into a shorter period of time. So that intensity was higher. So,
yeah, cool. I just think there's so much power in two areas. One, you really know if you're improving or not, and you can test different ways. For me though, like today's workout, that's, you know, it's not a super long one. You know, it's under 15 minutes for me, but it's five rounds and I'm in round three, but I have a plan. And there's so much power being able to push through that fourth and fifth round when you have a plan and you know what's coming up next. Like I was coming to the door going, I've got 15 steps to the barbell and then I have to pick it up and do 15 reps and then I'm going to drop it and I got to run out the door and I got to stick to that, you know? And so I think that's really important. It's not going to make you less tired, but it takes your mind off of it. And that's, mm-hmm. I think that's really important to, you know, you should probably put that in your mental course that you're selling on the show. I'll run that for you next.
Yeah. You send me a quick recording. I'll throw it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Special bonus by John Woolley.
Yeah, exactly. You had a couple other things here I wanted to go over. Why going to the CrossFit Games is fun. I'm excited about the CrossFit Games, bro.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It'll be fun for us. Why is it fun for you? What do you like about it?
I mean, it's fun because there oftentimes I feel disconnected from what I do for work. You know, like I come here to the office and I shoot videos and, you know, we sell courses that apparently no one knows about because half the time we get questions. It's like, how can I improve my CrossFit skills? It's like, that's literally... what my company does.
Right.
And yet no one buys it, but, or the people who do, you know, keep it secret. But what's super fun about being at the CrossFit Games is it, I finally get to like meet people. And so many people come up to me and they're just like, oh my gosh, Ben, your video or your, you know, your double under course or your pull up course transformed XYZ, and I've never felt more confident. Like, I can see them just glowing with confidence, and they're blaming me for it, which I just find amazing. So I think that's my favorite part about the games is like connecting with, you know, the people of WOD Prep that actually really, really love and follow what I do. Cause oftentimes I get disconnected from it. And I lose touch with the fact that the work that I do actually impacts lives. And it's a really good, it's really important for me because I get down on myself a lot. I get, you know, I go through all kinds of highs and lows with emotions and stuff like that. And at the end of every CrossFit Games, it's very much a high of, holy crap, like we're doing real work here. We're impacting people's lives and we're making a big difference. And then secondarily is definitely seeing my team. Like I love seeing the team. I love, you know, we host a team dinner. We're having a WOD Prep party on Friday night where everybody listening is invited. So it's connecting with the community, connecting with the team. And then my third and final reason is for the sweet, sweet moments where people see both of us and they're like, John, oh my gosh, I love your memes. Ben, oh my gosh, I love your videos. And then you're like, ask her, hey, whose do you like better, mine or Ben's? And then she's like, Ben's.
Definitely Ben. They always love Ben.
That was a lifetime highlight.
I don't even remember that. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember it at all. It's like a lifetime ago, Ben. You know why I think people listening or watching should go to the CrossFit Games? Because there's so many people out there that think their gym is this little unique snowflake and it's perfect and their community is special and better than everybody else. And it might be. Maybe it is. However, at some point that gym or someone within it is going to disappoint you. And then you're going to take that disappointment out on CrossFit and not want to do it anymore. Get out into the community and go meet people from all over the world. You're going to find out very quickly. We all do the same dumb shit. As far, you know, if you're in Germany or Japan or Australia or continental US, we're all doing the same dumb shit. And it's important. I think it's important to meet those people and find out that, you know, whoever in Timbuktu has the exact same struggles you do with double unders. It's really liberating. And that's why I love it. Like just meeting people from all over and finding out what they struggle with and what they love and they hate. And, you know, we have this universal bond over how shitty the assault bike is, you know. There's just something about it. It's just, I hate to call it magical, but it kind of is, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's like church camp, you know. You get
the cult together.
It's great.
And I think having it in Madison is pretty awesome too, because like back when it was in Carson, you're just like a little blip on the LA radar, right? But in Madison, like every Uber driver, everyone there's like, oh, who's winning the games this year, you know?
Right.
And it's cool to see the entire city come together for it. I love it.
And if you show up, you might get to watch you and I go head to head in a workout. Do you want to know what workout is?
What are the deets on that?
Yeah. So I got this message from Forging Youth Resilience, which is an amazing charity, by the way, for those of you that are looking for charities to support. Ben and I both support them. They work with youth in kind of underprivileged neighborhoods, and they give them mentoring and just, you know, help them through life events. And they do a really terrific job.
I got to go to their summer camp a week and a half ago. It was amazing.
Yeah, they're good people. But they're going to have a booth at the games, and they got people competing in this workout. I don't even know what the time domain is, but it's a sandbag workout, 9 sandbag thrusters, 9 burpees over the sandbag, and 9 air squats. So I'm going to assume this is a 9-minute AMRAP. I'm just taking an educated guess. it doesn't say.
Maybe it's a 99-minute AMRAP.
But Ben and I are going head to head. So
that thruster weight better be freaking heavier. I'm doomed.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm old. I'm really old. Well, don't crush me. We'll I mean, look, out. I'm going to do half squats. And there's zero chance I'm actually touching my thighs and chest to the ground on those burpees going against you. But you have to do them right. I'm going to get that Hiller guy and make him watch us both. And he's going to no rip the shit out of you the whole time. It's going to be great.
Just slide him a 20 under the table.
Oh, swear to God. He's going to be like, Woolies look great, but yours are terrible, Ben. I'll just shout at you.
It'll Can't wait. Hopefully he makes a hate video about me.
He probably, I told him, I sent him a message today. He did a video that says Craig Ritchie blocked me, and Craig is a friend of mine. And I messaged him like, damn, Hiller, I'm thinking about blocking you just so you'll make a video about me. I want the street cred. Man.
That's funny. I have no idea why, but whatever.
Well, you should block him and find out.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll introduce you guys to Madison. He's a nice dude.
Yeah.
There'd be probably a sea of those silly no rep shirts.
Sweet.
All over the place. All right. What other topics did we have? We have any others? We got you mentioned the Watt Prep Party.
I mean, Lauren has a pretty good question because he kind of already answered it, but I feel like I have to reiterate it now.
All right, let's go back in. Well, it's a long question. Been doing CrossFit for a year and a half. I'd like to start competing more. I can do most RX movements and weights, but still missing some of the tougher gymnastics skills like stringing together kipping, chest to bar and workouts, muscle ups, etc. Any suggestions?
Yeah, it goes on to say, any suggestions on how to start adding in that extra work on top of my gym's normal programming to become more competitive? Lauren, you're in luck. This is literally why WOD Prep exists. Again, I kind of, you know, was, you know, sounding frustrated earlier today, but I do a lot of free videos, right? We make videos, we make funny videos on Instagram. We make obviously strategy videos for the open, all kinds of free stuff. But what WOD Prep does, like our bread and butter, what we are the best in the world at, I think is exactly what you're asking about, Lauren. We come up with programming to help people add to their normal programming so that they can excel and become an RX or competitive athlete quicker. So if you have to scale kipping chest to bar pull-ups and you can't string them together, then you should just go buy Kipping Pull-Up Performance. It's one of WOD Prep's courses. And in 8 weeks, you'll be amazing at them, right? I can say that with confidence. And basically the easiest way to do it is to go get WOD Prep Academy, because that's all of the courses from double unders to kipping pull-ups to butterfly pull-ups to bar muscle-ups, ring muscle-ups, Endless Engine, which teaches you how to run, bike, and row, like Strong Mind course I've mentioned a bunch of times. WOD Prep Academy has all of them combined together for essentially the price of one course per year. So it the math works out. I'll put it that way. You get like $7,000 worth of courses for, I think, $400 a year, $300 a year. I forget. So that's the way to do it. But the way to do it is focus on a specific movement, stack it into your programming 2 to 3 times per week. And that 2 to 3 times should be like a 15 to 30 minute skill session. And if you do that and you do that consistently over 8 to 12 weeks, you're going to make huge progress. And do it with an actual program and videos and coaching to go with it. You'll be in business. So
let's do an asterisk on there. If you're going to do this in affiliate, please ask for permission of your coaches. Don't just take up a corner of the gym and start working on double unders or handstand pushups or kipping pull-ups and piss your coach off. Make sure you're asking permission.
Yeah. And that's something that I feel like a lot of people, you know, at least all the gyms that I know of, including the one that I go to, it's like a small gym and there might not be room for everything, but especially if you get in before class, you say, hey, can I work on these off to the side? Especially if it's a day where those are being programmed. Most coaches are gonna be like, yep, totally, absolutely. Or be a squeaky wheel and be like, hey, we never practice these movements. Can I have some time to practice them? A lot of gym owners will start to listen.
Well, that, and you know, use a little mental judo here. Go, hey coach, can I work on, let's say it's kipping pull-ups? Coach is like, sure. Hey, would you mind watching me? I could really use your advice. Right, like stroke their ego a little bit. Like, you know, maybe they see something you're missing. Like Ben's
yours are so beautiful. I want mine to look like yours. Can you look at mine? Yeah. They'll be like, oh,
exactly.
Yeah, but stay at it, Lauren. You know, stay focused. Keep like it. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you pick out one movement, it seems like kipping Chesapeake or like a specific one. I mean, man, with some focused effort over the next 8 weeks, you can make huge progress. The key is just focus and consistency.
Yep. Agree with that. All right. Well, listen, for those of you guys listening or watching, if you're going to be in Madison, shoot Ben or I a DM. You can see our screen names are on the screen. We'd love to meet you. Do you get offended to ask for photos of the games? Absolutely not. Make sure you don't get Ben in a photo with me, though. That's offensive. He's too pretty for
me. Here's what I need is if John and I, when we're standing next to each other, come up to me and be like, Ben, oh my gosh, can I get a picture with you? And then turn to John, don't even recognize him, and just hand him your phone. Be like, hey, you random stranger, can you take a picture? Perfect. That's happened to me with John like 5 times. So I'm just like, oh, just take his picture. So
I love taking pictures of photos only because I know 5 or 10 years from now, people are going to look back at those photos and go, who is this old guy? Like, why the hell is I getting my photo with this old bald dude? Like,
We love taking pictures of people. Don't be shy. I mean, and that goes with like everyone there. I mean, we're talking, you know, John and I are very, very low on the CrossFit, you know, famousness totem pole, probably the very bottom, but like even the most famous athletes you'll ever meet, a lot of them are so down to earth. And if you ask them for a picture, as long as they're not in the middle of a warm up or trying to mentally prepare for something, especially if they're not competing, those people will go out of their way to be kind to you. So don't be afraid to have a great time at the games.
Well, if you want to hang, shoot us a DM. We're going to be wandering around all week. We got parties coming up. We'll let you know where the happenings are.
Yeah, Friday night. I do know it's Friday night. That's all I know. It's like Friday night, 8-ish p.m. There's a Wad Prep party in downtown Madison. I will come next Monday with details, and I'll make sure to post it all over Instagram and Facebook and socials and things like that.
You're going to find me almost anywhere. They're selling hamburgers and beer and cheese curds. Cheese curds. It's going to be great. Awesome. Right now I'm eating like a skinny bitch so I can be ready to go. I'll be all prepared by the time we get there. So
nice.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining this week, and we will chat with you guys again soon.
Peace.